Welcome back to the Sexual Healing Podcast from Top to Bottom, where Dark Boy and I have the conversations out loud that a lot of you dare to have in your head. So, Dark Boy, how you doing out there today?
I am doing good week. I don't have too many complaints. How about you?
I'm doing okay. I'm still working like I'm an extra in Roots, but eventually life will slow down. That's what I'm telling myself.
Yeah.
Whether that's a lie, I can't say. But that's what I'm telling myself. All right. So I know, since you've had such an easygoing week, I'm sure you've listened to somebody's podcast this week, or several somebody's. So what was your highlight?
Yes. Yeah. The one that I actually just finished listening to today was the Gay Side Stories, the mental health one.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that, I can appreciate that people are willing to share things and share issues. And this one, they talked a lot about depression.
Yeah.
And I have to say, the way that they described it gave me a different, I got some education about it, because I think there's people, I think, tend to say, well, why are you sad? You have this nice job, this nice house or apartment or car, and you have your family. And sometimes, from what they said, that isn't enough. It's not, it's an imbalance. And having all these things that supposedly look good on the surface doesn't really make any difference to that at all. So
yeah,
that was very educational. So I have to keep in mind that if somebody says they are depressed, you can't just say, well, you have all these things to be happy about, because I guess to somebody who is depressed, when you start listing what they should be happy about, then it's kind of a slap in the face. And I thought that that was educational for me. And so that was definitely a highlight of the podcast I've listened to this week.
Yeah, actually, the last Trulificent, his last couple of episodes, shout out to Trulificent Gay Side Stories, as well as his guests. He has been talking a lot about just self-care and taking care of yourself, because he had a recent medical issue that popped up for him. And so he came back talking about medical and just making sure you're doing your appointments and listening to your body. And then last week's episode was definitely one of my favorites, because he really, it struck me in a way where I said, yeah, that's it. As a psychologist, I can have this very clinical perspective on things like that, but yeah. I definitely appreciate it. That slice of life. And that was probably my favorite episode of the week that I listened to. I probably got through about 20 podcasts last week. But I think if I had to pick another one, probably my girls, Jade and Kia, they just tickled me. They were talking about, they had the student loan doctor. I forget what her name was. Because they had a woman on talking about, handling student loans. And then they also, on the Friend Zone last week, they had the Budgetista. And so those two episodes were all about getting your money right, which is also an important mental health issue. Poverty is a mental health issue. You don't have enough money to pay bills, you have problems that don't go away. They just haunt you. So, yeah, so those are my shout outs. So, shout out to the crew at the Friend Zone, Francesca, Asante, and Crazy Ass Dustin, and also to Jade and Kia getting grown. So, speaking of mental health, that's certainly one of the issues that we'll probably address more directly down the road. But one of the things that certainly has plagued a lot of brothers out there has been this idea of trying to date and meet people in cyberspace. And we have these geo-based apps, good old Grindr and Growler and Scruff and what are some others? Radar, I think, is for kink, or is it Radar? I can't remember. But they got these different apps, that say where you are, and you put your profile up and people can connect with you. Most of them are used for folks, you know, trying to get their freak on. And so one of the things that I've definitely heard a lot of Black men kind of talk about and lament is just the really adverse anti-Black experiences that they've had in those spaces. So I know that you were taken aback by something that you saw recently as well. I know you mentioned that in our planning meeting. So why don't you, you know, share your thoughts about that?
Well, it wasn't something that I saw. It was just something that I had heard about. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I mean, I don't know when all the apps even really came out, mm-hmm. the dating, the hookup apps. Yeah. I don't know what year they came out, but I was already...
Well, yeah, you've been taken for 10 years. So, yeah, you've been off the market for a minute. So it's,
yeah, so yeah. I don't have the personal experience of dealing with any of this stuff on the app, even though I was always... you know, worried about dealing with it when I was dating. Mm-hmm. But what I heard or what I was told is, you know, we all are familiar with no fats, no femmes, mm-hmm. no, then there's no blacks and all that kind of stuff. But the one that really got me, or the two that really got me, was they said no rice or no spice. And that doesn't mean, it was just new to me. I had not heard it before.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it's worse than discrimination from any other race or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And I think because you hadn't been in that world, I think it was definitely more shocking to you as someone kind of coming in from the outside. To me, I'm rather desensitized to it because even back when I was in school, one of the things that I studied was personal ads. So I've seen a lot. So to me, to see something, it's just very, even some of the most shocking things, it's kind of like, okay, well, you kind of expressed yourself. You're an asshole, but you expressed yourself. And I know for me, as I don't know if I'm really a consumer of the apps, I think I still have them on my tablet or my phone, and who knows how long it's been since I've logged into any of them. I've definitely noticed the whole thing of, I think I told you about the one guy I encountered his profile and he said he didn't burn coal. And I said, burn coal? What the hell does that? Just really. And then I sat there and I thought about it for a second. I was like, oh, that's just foul. At the same time, I appreciate a nice turn of phrase, even if it is utterly hateful and really off-putting. But I just said, well, block. When I encounter that, I'm like, cool, you saved me some time. For that particular guy, I just was not interested in him at all, so it didn't really, wasn't a big deal to me.
Yeah.
But I definitely could see how it would be very off-putting to someone who's younger, who's just coming out. It could be, I would imagine, you know, having that kind of experience with someone where we're supposed to be this big gay happy family, I could see it being very damaging.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times, at least I think when I was younger, I thought it was like, you know, when they say the gay community, you think of it as being this just, you know, everybody's kind of has the same goals, the same wishes and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know what? Some of the same BS we deal with on the outside is on the inside, you know.
If not worse.
Yeah.
I know we're barely 10 minutes into the episode, but I have to say, in my experiences thus far as a 45-year-old man, I don't see a big, happy gay family as long as we have the, as long as white supremacy is still on the scene.
Is that partly because, to me, I think, because so much of what is in the media, the magazines and everything is white gay guys, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, they look good and all that stuff, but I'm like, okay, but there's other people out here too, you know?
For a lot of guys, I think even for your typical white gay man, if we make it a black and white issue, which, you know, I think in the confines of our show, that's what it is. for the average white guy, you know, he's going to see all of these, you know, possibly hairless, certainly muscular, trim guys, and he's going to have a really screwed up body image. And we've seen that be a big issue with a lot of gay men, with the twinks starving themselves and the other guys, you know, doing steroids and just to achieve this masculine ideal, or this attractive ideal. But imagine it as a black man coming out and you're consuming all this gay media and you don't see yourself at all. Or if you do, you only see yourself in like an HIV medication ad.
Yes. In the sad ones. We're very, very well represented in those. In the, I shouldn't say sad, but I mean just not.
The downtrodden.
Yeah. I
often think about it. I think now at, you know, at our age, we're kind of at a place now where we can look at it and say, whatever, and really choose not to consume it. For me, there's a whole history of black-centered LGBTQ literature, fiction, media out there that I know of, that I can access, that might be sitting on my bookshelf, sitting on my hard drive. I can see myself, and I can see how I fit into the community. But I definitely get very frustrated with, you know, with our white counterparts that want to accuse us of being militant,
yes.
Ungrateful. I've heard ungrateful before. I've heard messy. What else have I been called when I brought up this issue of just of black exclusion? Or, you know, we want to, and we'll get to the whole, you know, the black buck stereotype and all that crap. Too political, you know, reactionary, you name it. I've been called a lot of those things. And these are by the gay brethren, you know, the gay brethren who we're supposed to be in community with. It's certainly for me to see, you know, no blacks, no fats, no femmes, no Asians, no this, no that.
I mean, I don't even know what the term, I don't know what the term is used if they don't want to, if they're not interested in a Latino guy. I mean, I'm afraid to, I have an idea, but
what is that? Because they don't really say it too much. I've seen something like no cholos.
Okay.
But that's not the common term that's used. I can't think of what it is because I think a lot of guys, you know, when they're saying I don't want a Latino guy, they really want one. They're really talking about the guys that are not so easily white passing, or they obviously look Latino, or they look Latinx. They may have darker skin. Or they're not terribly white identified in their appearance, in terms of how they dress and how they conduct themselves. You don't really see much of the no. I don't think I've ever seen no Latins. I'll put it that way.
In my mind, black, I mean, we are on the bottom, so to speak. So I think that was part of the reason why the comment, the thing that I've heard, no rice, no spice, that's why I think I was kind of shocked by that, because I just assumed that they only did that for black people. So after hearing that, I'm like, there's got to be a derogatory term for other race, you know, for Latinos. I just don't know what it is.
I saw one saying no sand, another one saying no no Osamas, and I said, what?
See, no, I had not heard that one.
Yeah, I've seen that a couple of times, but I don't know if that's like the thing where it's like, you know, I don't think it's in that same level of usage with the no rice, no spice. But spice is relatively new, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's maybe come out in the last 2-3 years from what I can tell.
So maybe I heard it around the same time it came out then. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's still used. I mean, if you go on a site like the douchebagsofgrindr.com, there's also a Tumblr page, and there may even be an Instagram account that has these guys' profiles on Tumblr where they just eviscerate these guys, you know, for being douchebags.
So they show the profiles, and it shows the terms they're using, derogatory terms in their profiles.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you get the it'll be a screen cap. Someone will capture their screen and they'll submit it to the site. I suspect that, because I know the last time I looked at that, I was looking at it for a lecture or a talk I was going to do on just, well, this emerging issue of you have white men that do these things and they say, well, it's I'm not being racist, it's just my preference. And I kind of look at that and I say, well, I get that you may have a preference, but the way you put it out there is really, it just strikes of racism and just prejudice to me.
But I mean, to me, for them to feel comfortable using those words, you already got a lot of racism in your background. If,
Yes,
you know what I
ma'am.
mean? If you can't, yeah, you can't. How is that okay to say? How can that possibly be okay? I mean, yeah, a preference, fine. Everybody's gonna have the preference. I mean, me and you, we have a friend, a black guy, that if he were single now, he would be, and if he was looking, he'd be looking for a redhead. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So. And to me, that's totally okay. But, so it's to me, it's fine to have a preference. It's fine. I just think the way you do it, your motive, just the, it's like, let's just slam people down while we're looking for this thing. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, actually, I just went to douchebagsofgrindr.com and they are still updating as of this morning.
It's douchebag what?
Douchebagsofgrindr.com. The first one here is Disoriented Douche, and that's what they called him. He basically says, not looking for hookups, don't ask what you into or what you looking for. It pisses me off, with two exclamation marks. Then he says, no Orientals. Intelligence welcomed. It is like, again, Orientals, have we...
Yeah, when did we? How long has it been since we've
It's been
said
a
that?
long time. That's a rug. That's not a person. This guy
Yeah,
here,
exactly.
his thing said squinty eye, no reply. Just, and this is a 28-year-old.
I mean, these are young. I mean, these are not like these, old men who grew up back in the generation where it was supposedly, quote unquote, okay
Yeah.
to talk like that. These are young people.
These are young, so yeah,
Yeah.
I think that sometimes from my perspective, and not to group everyone into just this douchebag category, I definitely see that while the younger generations are kind of filtering out a lot of the old school prejudices, I think that they're not always aware of their white privilege, especially. I said to someone before, I said, when you're dealing with white gay men, the thing you need to understand, because everyone's like, how could they be so racist? Or how could they be so discriminatory? And I say to people all the time, they're white men. Like, you need to understand that.
Well, part of it is I think they don't know. I mean, well, I don't say they don't know, but I think they've been so immersed in it that they don't know they're in it. I guess it's kind of a good
Yeah.
way to say
I mean, the
it.
culture, our society was basically built with them in mind and for them. And so even though they may be a sexual minority, it only tempers, if in my experience with the men that I've encountered by and large, I won't say all of them, but a number of the men that I've encountered that are white gay men that have these issues, they don't acknowledge their privilege. And even the marriage equality battle, really, for a lot of those guys, came down to I'm a white man and I don't like being discriminated against. And so I want all of my privileges as these other guys have, and now I'm good.
And now it's like, okay, well, now I don't have to worry about the rest.
Yeah, it was never about people of color. Even when Prop 8 passed in California, you had someone we listened to fairly regular, Dan Savage. He came after the black community saying the black community were the ones that got that shit passed. And it's like, no, there aren't enough of us here to pass that kind of legislation. It's like we can't carry the water on that. I was like, furthermore, if you guys had actually bothered to go into black communities,
Yes.
maybe it wouldn't have passed. Because folks talk, and what was it?
But see, we weren't even on the radar
Nope.
of being considered to even talk to about trying to not let it pass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, it's that narrow focus. It's like you don't even think, or they're not even thinking about other races or just other experiences other outside of their own.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to a lot of folks of color in the community, and they definitely were very disenchanted with the No One Ate movement, because it really did present itself, even if it wasn't entirely, it presented itself as very much a white privilege issue, where you had a lot of white people championing it, and you also had a lot of privileged folks, economically privileged people, championing it. You had black lesbian families, children that are like, look, I'm trying to find a decent job. I'm trying to get affordable childcare for our children. You had black gay men like, look, I'm just trying to find a job, period. And and to not be called out my name while walking down Santa Monica Boulevard. And you had a lot of the activists that would approach some black gays and lesbians when they saw them and try to do their pitch. And they would say, well, okay, but what are you doing for us? Because there was a clear divide there between white gays and black gays and lesbians. There was a very clear divide. I mean, you have a number of black gays and lesbians that I know, that I've spoken with, that call the human rights campaign Gay White Inc.
Yeah.
If not Gay White Male Inc.
And that same friend that I mentioned earlier that likes the redheads, he, you know, they called him a couple days ago, or maybe a week or two ago.
Oh, about what?
And looking for a donation. And he told them, and he says, well, after marriage equality, you guys aren't doing anything for black gay people.
Yeah.
Any gay person of color. Mm-hmm. So he refused to give him a donation. I thought, you know what? If they call me, I'm going to do the same thing.
Yeah, they don't have my number.
Yeah. Well, they used to have mine, so who knows? They may call again.
Yeah, I think about some of the organizations that are out there. I'm definitely not as well-versed as I used to be, where I could rattle them off, but there were a number of city-based, regional-based, national black, gay, and lesbian, bisexual, trans leadership organizations that were out there doing that work. The Black Gay Men's Health Crisis? Or even like the Black AIDS Institute here in LA. Those folks are around, but you never hear mention of them at all. I look at this whole PrEP thing and the fact that black men seem to be the ones who need it the most, if the CDC is to be believed, with those numbers that came out about maybe 6 months to a year ago, basically saying that half of all black gay men are going to end up HIV positive. If that's the case, shouldn't all these prevention efforts be geared toward black gay men and men who have sex with men? But that's not what happens. Our organizations get the short end of the stick routinely.
Yeah. Again, it's that narrow focus, you know.
Yeah, I just, you know, I think it's when I kind of give this topic air and like take it out of my head, like this show is supposed to, it's kind of our evolving focus. It does get me a little angry because you talk about the community and I say, well, I don't sense a lot of community with y'all. Now, I won't say it's everyone. There are some folk that are mindful, that are aware of their privilege, that make efforts to use their privilege to the betterment of the disenfranchised and the silenced.
There aren't enough, forgotten.
There aren't enough. And I appreciate their efforts, although sometimes they do veer into the white savior arena a bit.
Yes, I was just going to mention that.
What you got to say about the white savior arena?
No, it's because, I mean, we had a friend that, a little bit of a sidebar, but we had a friend that had, that was his one critique about Black Panther, was that Agent Ross, and he was the one that blew up the ships that were about to leave Wakanda with the, with the vibranium. And so he felt like that was a white savior thing. And so he's like, even in the movie this big, made by us, for us, or about us, I guess, he says there is still this white savior thing in there. And I didn't really think about it until he said it. But, in a way, it's kind of true. So I don't know.
Well, but I also, I get I get his point, and I definitely on the surface see the point he was making. I guess I would push back a bit by saying that this white man also used technology designed by a black girl with her instruction and her guidance.
But I could see our friends saying, well, how come it couldn't have been a black person that did it?
Well, I agree, but the reality is I appreciate the fact that the black folks went out to fight straight up to defend their land and their culture. I got it. I got his point. I totally got his point. And initially I said, oh, I didn't really see it that way. And I didn't know how I saw it. I just saw it as, well, no, I didn't get white savior complex there. I got giving him something to do. I got comic relief. I got this guy being presented as a relatively mediocre white guy because he didn't seem to know shit and couldn't get shit
Maybe.
right. I mean, obviously he's a CIA agent, so it's a little different than the portrayals of CIA agents in a lot of cases, but it definitely had that James Bond treatment of the American CIA agent. Where it's just kind of like, oh, not really pivotal, not a big deal. He might help out in a pinch here, but he's not really, he ain't worth shit. That's,
So I know.
yeah. But I definitely understood the white savior comment there, but I just remember in the movie not really seeing it that way. At no time was I like, why did it have to be him? And then when the conversation came up over the table, I said, well, I see your point, but I don't know. I wasn't ready to articulate why my counter, and obviously, I have now. But at the time, I didn't see it.
And I mean, I have to say, when I saw the movie, I didn't really expect to see anybody white, but of course I didn't know.
Well, I
So
knew we had to see somebody white because, Black Panther had firmly crossed into the Marvel comic universe.
that's true. I just didn't expect anybody. I should tell you, probably anybody that was kind of somewhat major, not major, but maybe moderate role. I didn't expect to see that. Like the woman in the museum. That. Yeah, she was a minor character. We didn't even know her name. You know what I mean? So I expected more of that than an Agent Ross.
Well, yeah.
I wonder if some of the, and I, we should talk, maybe interview or invite them on or something. I wonder if some of the black, groups like Black AIDS Institute, if maybe they don't want to take the money from, or they also are trying to do it on their own and avoid the white savior thing, the white people are going to come down and save us. I wonder if there some of them avoid, and not, I can't say avoid, but they just resist it, I guess.
Well, I do know one or two folks that are there. I hope they're still there. Perhaps I could extend that invitation to have a conversation at some point. I know that the last time I volunteered with them, it was for their big annual fundraiser, Heroes in the Struggle, where it's basically a big gala event, and they have the big money maker. Or one of the big money makers was the silent auction. And so I was helping get some of those things set up and a lot of the prep work because the day of the event, I actually had to, I think I was traveling for work at that point. And I remember she looked at me and says, so you here every night except the night of the event? I said, yes. She's like, and you came back? And I said, yes. Here I am. I don't need the glory of being there. I would have loved to have met Magic Johnson and a lot of the other celebrities that came through, but I was just happy to help them do all the leg and prep work for that event. And I don't know how much it raised, but they're still in operation. I know Phil Wilson and company are still doing their thing, and I'm pretty sure they're not getting nearly the public support in terms of government funding as they really need, I'm sure, because HIV in the black community, particularly in the greater LA area, is serious. I don't know if we've strayed totally from our main topic, but it's all related.
Yeah, it is. It is.
This idea of anti-blackness within LGBTQ communities is very real for a lot of us. I think I look at some of the our younger generation that you and I have contact with. I think you know who I'm talking about without naming names. I think early on, he wasn't fully aware of like, oh wow, this is racism, this is prejudice, this is anti-blackness, this is whatever you want to call it. He was definitely aware of some sort of differentiation between him and a lot of his peers. And it was typically because he was one of the few black ones. And I remember seeing that crew. There were some kids of color within that teen cohort, but in terms of even the marketing of things to them and services, it was always white faces.
I'm to the point, if there is an ad or there's something, you don't have some kind of color, I don't pay attention to it anymore. That I'm just to that point. I should do more. Actually, what I should do is I should point it out, not just ignore it, but like send them an email or call up and say, hey, you don't have anybody black in this ad, or you don't have anybody, I mean, are you, what are you doing? I think I need to point it out to them. Get the message out, like, you guys cannot, at some point, someone's gonna have to get a clue and realize there are other people that have a little more shade to their skin than you guys.
Absolutely. I just remember when I first came back home after school, I was doing some work, some consulting work with the Long Beach Gay and Lesbian Center, and some of those bitter old queens that I met at the front desk that were volunteers were nothing nice. And I had to snatch more than one or two wigs up in that place because they were jamming me up. And I'm like, you didn't jam up this kid that just walked in here before me. And you've seen me here before, so I don't know why all of a sudden you need to act like I'm here about to just shoot the place up. It's like I'm walking up in this bitch with a briefcase. I need to understand why you're bothering me. Yeah, but we're getting close to time on our main topic. So, did you have a closing thought? Because certainly this is just anti-blackness part one. We'll be revisiting.
I mean, I don't, I was just trying to think of like if there's like a resolution. I mean, do we tell people to use different language or maybe not be so, I mean, because, and here's the thing, I mean, on the one hand, I could say that I think for some people, I mean, I think back when I was looking for, looking online for, some extra.
Little something, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember. I mean, if I saw one that said, well, no black people or no this or that, part of me was a little bit grateful because I'm like, okay, I don't even have to, I don't have to waste my time reading your profile, looking at your pictures. I don't have to do any of that. You've already said you don't want me. And so that's I don't want to say advantage,
Well,
but,
yeah. I would say, I mean, getting into the dating app world, I would much rather see you state what it is you want and what you're looking for. Not a laundry list, but if you have the ideal guy or the ideal situation you're trying to create for yourself, say that. You might say there's a picture of you and you obviously work out. Say that you're looking for a guy that you can go to the gym with as well. And that already says, okay, you don't want a guy who would be described as fat instead of saying no fats. There are ways to communicate what it is you do and do not want, and folks should be old enough now to use their words. It's just should be old enough to use your words. They mean things. Thank you, Madam Crystal. They mean things. And so people are old enough now to use their words and to say what it is that they want and that they're looking for. I think on a hookup app, everybody knows you're looking for some ass, you're looking for some dick. And if you're looking for a date, then you need to specify that. If you are looking for someone who looks like you, then there are ways to communicate that. Yeah, I mean, I run into that issue with age and height and body type, and I'm not particularly interested in a 19-year-old that's hairless. That's just not my thing, but now they rolling up on me talking about what's up, pops, and I'm like, uh-uh.
Ooh, pops.
Yes, pops. I said, wow. I had to, there was some other thing that I got called, and I had to ask somebody, what does that mean? And he said, "Oh, he's calling you pops." And I said, "Wow." I think I was maybe 39 at the time.
Well, you know, when you're over 25, once you hit 25, you know,
Your ass is considered old.
you ain't nothing after that.
Child, I feel like it's just getting going. You got a clue and you still got something going on.
Yeah. I wanted to say something about the comment I made earlier,
Yes.
and that is if I would hope that somebody, if they're gonna say what they want, and if they want a particular, if they have their preference or whatever you want to call it, this particular race, I mean, can it not be done derogatory in a derogatory word in a way? But then also, I would hope that the people who are that somehow that it doesn't, it's not just about changing words in your app that, you know, looking for dick or ass, whatever, but that there is some kind of just stopping and thinking about, you know, having some kind of trying to be culturally and racially sensitive, not just on the app, but just in general, because part of me worries these people that are like this on the apps, what are they like if they are a supervisor or they're just, if they're, you know, a cop or in some kind of an authority, what are they like to black people or people of color when they're not on the apps? So,
Yeah, that
you
is
know,
the
what are they
question.
like? What, so is this the worst, you know, when you're on the apps? Are you doing the same kind of stuff where you just, you know, in your daily life, but just maybe more hidden, and you're really coming out in these apps or whatever. So I just hope that not just changing how they're saying it or what they're saying, but changing words, but absolutely, hopefully they're not doing too much in the everyday world, and that they're not just, you know, creating more drama for us black men and other people of color. So that's my hope. Whether that happens or not is totally different story.
Yeah, I think it's I don't know if there's I think some to be that specific and preferential to the point of exclusion. I don't know if there is a an easier kind way to put that.
Well, I mean, but you don't have to say no racist. I mean, I don't know. You could, you know, if you're white and you're looking for white, you know, I mean, just, I don't know. I don't know. I don't even, there just has to be a better way to go about it. I mean, there just has to be.
Well, there probably is, but I think it's yeah, that is the question. I mean, that's really kind of taking one of the unfortunate aspects of humanity out of the equation is talking about can you be open to everyone and judge them on their individual characteristics and their character? Because certainly I know people who have throughout their lives been interested in a particular type of person. And the person is like, "Oh, I only want a dime piece on my arm, blah 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 blah." And they date these dime pieces and the dime pieces all they have to offer is the dime. And there's not much else that they're bringing to the table. And so when it comes time for you to start growing up and the relationship to develop, there's nothing there to work with other than the dime. And yet they've been able to to kind of change their quote unquote preference in terms of what they're looking for and who they can be erotically attracted to. So I do think it's possible to be open to people as just people, and then you get to another space with it. But that might be really Pollyanna and pie in the sky. I don't know.
Yeah, just a little bit, but you know, who
He said just a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about it yesterday, and it's like I would like to be philosophically open to any and everyone, but I know I'm not. It's not gonna matter how funny a person is or how this or that. I'm like, if it just isn't working for me, it's not working for me. But I would hope that I would come to that conclusion after giving it a realistic effort to connect, and just have to say, I really enjoy you as a person. I'm not erotically attracted to you, but I really love you to death. Like, you were an awesome person. And I would, you know, that whole dreaded let's be friends. But it's like, I would like to build a friendship with you. And you just never know. Maybe down the road, the right time, it's like, you know, this is what I need in a partner. And you're it. I don't know. But I think that certainly some of it is youth. It's youth.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about these younger guys, but you also have older ones that think the same way. They're just more sophisticated and they don't say it out loud, but certainly they'll just ignore you when you approach them. I've had guys just totally of various hues, including our own, that you say hello to them as they're walking by you and they don't even acknowledge it. Like, they don't flinch. Like, you know, and you're just like, yeah, I'm talking to you.
That's that internal stuff.
Yeah. But it could be the internal stuff.
Internalized. Yeah. Really. That's definitely what I should say.
Yeah, internalized problematic behaviors. But I do think that, yeah, I think we all need to be more gentle with one another, a bit more kind. It's not always about what you look like and what you're bringing to the party in that respect. I've done with my soliloquy. It's like, did you have a final thought on that before we move to our first letter of the day?
No, I think I'm...
No?
I mean, just kind of what I said earlier, just, you know, about the sensitivity, mm-hmm. you know, just, we just need more of that. People just snap out of it and just like realize, hey, you know, at some point, this has to end. I mean, you know, I mean, it's good we could talk about white privilege and, you know, people that are doing these microaggressions and all this kind of stuff. It's good that we could talk about that, but people need to now that we're talking about it, the people who are doing that stuff need to figure a way to get over it, to get over the stuff they are doing. You know?
Yeah, because it's not up to us as people of color to fix it.
Yeah, you guys need to get over it. Figure it out.
Yeah, we can't fix it. If it were up to us, it would have been fixed eons ago.
That would have happened.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not our shit. It's and it's the same thing I've said to men that I've encountered doing domestic violence prevention work. It's just like, guys, if women could have fixed this, do you think they would have a long ass time ago? They're not the ones abusing other women by and large. It's men. So if you think it's bullshit, then it's up to you as a fellow man to check your brothers out there that are doing this shit.
Yeah.
Women been checking you. It's cut it down a bit, but they still cutting up.
All right. Maybe we should move on.
Yeah, I guess so. So moving on to Ask Your Brista. These are letters from our female listeners about a range of topics. But today we actually have a special offering. We're going to take a run at one of the missives sent to the Six Brown Chick. They get letters and comments and questions for advice on a daily basis. And they're off the chain. Like, these questions are just nuts. So here is one of the questions, or this is a question for the day. We'll just take one because we're running long already. Had a brief fling with my son's teacher. One thing led to another, and she got possessive. I broke it off, explaining that my fiancé just had a baby, etc. That's true. She retaliated by failing my kid. He may not graduate. I can't report it, so what to do? So obviously, I'm just now realizing, while I like this question, it's not from a woman, but we'll go with it anyway, because it's some crazy shit. So we have a guy here that had a fling with his son's teacher, which you shouldn't do, guys and ladies. No. You shouldn't do that. And apparently the dick or the pussy was bomb, and she got possessive, and then he broke it off, and his fiance just had a baby. Yeah, so you had a whole
ass
fiance that was pregnant, and you still out there fucking your son's teacher. Of all the people to fuck, you fuck your son's teacher, and she retaliated by failing.
She already knows who the mama is.
Yeah, in all
It's not
likelihood.
like, she probably got their phone number, the email, everything, and
Yeah. Well, and the interesting thing is also that I'm guessing that, yeah, in all likelihood, he probably does have an ex or a second mother of his first child. It seems to be his oldest child. So, what advice do you, what is he supposed to do here? It's like,
I don't know. This is a really tough one because, I mean, I'm sure that the mother is like, well, why is he failing? What happened? And so it's part of it's like, well, does she know that he's that? I mean, what does she think happened? And does this guy even want? I mean, because does he want to tell her? I mean, it's just a really, really tough situation because, you put yourself in a bind where you did this with somebody that has some power over you, and she's using it. And I mean, telling the wife, your wife, or it is, I'm sure you don't want to do that.
He probably doesn't.
Doesn't? Should he? Yes,
Yeah, he
but.
probably needs to come. This is so messy that I don't think he can keep it under wraps. I mean, obviously, what I would advise you do at this point is turn all the lights off and just lie down on your couch or on the floor and just meditate on all the bad decisions you've made here and how your dick and your ego got you into a whole lot of trouble. And how you privileged your dick over your child. Of all the women out there in the world, you screw your son's teacher. Talk about bad boundaries. Damn. Just. And did you not think that this was going to extend to your child? And furthermore, you already had somebody. What you need to do is come clean to all parties involved. Your son's mother is probably going to be quite pissed, but I think she's probably the only person that can handle this situation at this point. Because frankly, if home chick is possessive, him talking to her is only going to make it worse because she's going to make it very clear: you need to bring your ass back. You need to dump your
And
fiance.
the kid will be passing.
Yeah, and he'll pass.
I mean, and he can't go to the principal of the school because, I mean, and like say, well, this teacher is doing this terrible thing because
Well, he
he's going to have
could.
to confess. Well, but he has to confess to the principal what happened and why she's doing it, which that's, now that's going to be out there.
Yeah, well, that's why
So.
he needs to come clean. If he comes clean, it gives him plenty of options at that point because the teacher's leverage over him is now done. But the
That's
react.
that's true.
Yeah.
But now you have the other, now you're gonna have her drama. I mean, not drama, but just her reaction to it,
Well, her
to the
reaction
drama.
is going to be that she'll definitely probably get reprimanded if not fired. And also they're going to look into her grading of his son.
But I mean, when I'm talking about the reaction of his wife or girlfriend, just the reaction of
Yeah, well
her
that
reaction to him telling her what's happened.
his only option is to come clean unless he just wants his son to get screwed over. And that's the part of being a parent that he doesn't want to own.
And that's not easy. And that's not going to be, I mean, that's not going to be easy.
No. It's no, but I mean again, this is a consequence of bad decisions. It just comes down to that. It's a consequence of you making a fucked up decision. So own it. You owned your dick that you stuck on everybody involved. You got three women now that you've basically screwed over in different ways. How are you gonna ask somebody to marry you and then you go and impregnate them and then you go out fucking your son's teacher? Messy,
I
raggedy.
don't know.
Yeah, that's called fuckboy behavior. We just gonna call it that and let it ride.
Don't know if you'll be forgiven. I think we have that coming up in a future episode. I don't know if you'll be one that we will be eligible for forgiveness.
Yeah, it's not really. Forgiveness might be offered, but certainly he probably is going to be moving on to the third woman that he may have a serious relationship with, because the second one, his current fiance, I would hope she wouldn't go forward in her relationship with him, but dick must pe makes people do things. So, yeah, that's all I got for him.
Me too.
Come clean. Take them hits.
That's it.
All right. So that's the conclusion of our Six Brown Chicks special. We'll have to take on some of these in the future because they are quite hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah. It's, ooh, damn. Oh, yeah, because here's the one. I read this one yesterday and I howled. It says she dated a guy for 3 years and they were engaged for two. He's always been saving money for the perfect wedding when all I want to do at this point is make our union official. So I told him, quote, take me to the courthouse, marry me on Monday, or I'm out, unquote. He left. Advice?
See, that's too much.
This is Six Brown Chick. This is the kind of shit they get on a daily basis, though. And you just sit there, well, girl, maybe you could have negotiated that courthouse wedding or said, look, babe, you know, why don't we just... Maybe not the courthouse, but, you know, can I get a date in the next 3 months? Like, we need to go and do this. I'd rather you put that money away for a house. There were ways you could have finessed that shit, girl. But okay, yeah. We're getting into a second letter. So,
yeah,
I might edit that out. We'll see. All right. Yes.
Okay, so now we're to help a brother out. And so I have, so this question is actually a little bit similar to a question we got one or two episodes ago. So it's from Daryl in Philadelphia.
Okay, Philly.
And he says, my boyfriend, he has boyfriend in quotes, of 5 months, has unofficially moved in with me.
Uh-oh.
He came out to visit me for my birthday, but has never left. He comes from a poor family, so I get why he is staying. He only just recently got a part-time job, but contributes nothing to the household. We never agreed that he would move in. What do I do now? Should I ask him to move out?
Yeah, because you never asked him to move in.
Yeah. I agree with that. I'm like, I don't know if...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the type of person that says, okay, so if you're coming out to visit me, you know, what dates are you coming? Mm-hmm. What day are you leaving? You know, I mean, and I don't do that just to usher people out of the house quickly. I need to know. I mean... Do you need me to take you to the airport or to the train station or to whatever? So for me, I like to know up front what the schedule is. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's too late for that now, but I think he's only got a part-time job. So he's going to say, well, I don't have enough money for rent, you know, to rent a place on my own, I assume. So I don't know. It's just, it's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, it's only tough in the sense of trying to protect this guy's feelings, but...
Well, because he assumed things.
Yeah, and, you know, this brother knows he's wrong. He knows he's wrong. I think certainly if you allow him to do this, it's setting a really bad precedent for this quote-unquote boyfriend of yours. And so I think you've got to basically kind of lay this out for him and say, look, I appreciate... your interest, but yeah, you gotta go. I need you to move out because I don't feel like we're ready to do this.
And part of me, I mean, I think probably the only thing that can happen, I mean, that might work is, so you know, when he came to visit, there was no date for him to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think there probably should be, you know, saying, okay, on this day, You need to be in your own place, or you need to be somewhere else. I mean, I know that's harsh, but you know, moving in and just contributing nothing, and to me, that's harsh. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, if it were me, I think he would have to be given a day. And I mean, it's only been 5 months. Maybe this is kind of a blessing in disguise if he's doing this now, because who knows what else? You know, he. Expectations he may have of you later on, you know, he may be moving his mama and daddy and brother and sisters in and expecting you to, you know, to support all that. So I would set a date or at least discuss it with him and say, hey, what happened?
Yeah. And it sounds like this is really pretty early in things. It's not like you guys have spent a ton of time together. I know it's only been 5 months, but how much time in person have you guys spent together where you can say, Yeah, it's around that time for us to move in. I think clearly it's pretty early. It's really presumptuous on his part. If he were going to move in, he needed to at least ask. He needed to run whatever he was going to do by you in terms of, hey, I found a part-time gig. It's not really enough to contribute much, but here are some things I'll do to kind of earn my keep around the place. It's just like it's really, and I don't know if it's just a lack of home training. I don't know if it's trauma from growing up. I couldn't tell you, but it's not a good look. It's not a
Yeah.
good start to a relationship because it just shows a lack of regard for your space and your well-being that he would just move in like that on you. Drop him. Well,
Yeah, that's
get
what
him
I
out your
say.
house. Get him out your house, and then you guys have to decide whether there's anything there to salvage if he's feeling hurt or some kind of way about it. But certainly he shouldn't be that hurt because you didn't ask him to move in. He was coming to visit.
But he had that expectation though. I mean, he's taken advantage of something.
Well,
And
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It doesn't bode well for the future of the relationship or this guy's character that he would be that presumptuous and take advantage of you.
exactly. And that's why, like I said, what happens when he tries to bring all these other folks in,
Exactly.
that's what that to me is what's next.
Yeah, the younger brother, the cousin, and whoever. Because if you're the only one that's,
Contributing.
well, not only that, but if you're not the only refugee from this war zone that you called home, there are gonna be others.
Well,
And
he did say the family is poor, so
yeah.
that to me is
Yeah. I mean, I would just he has to be out he has he'd have to be out of my house. If it were me and he's kind of overstaying his welcome, I would certainly be like, hey, so you're not supposed to be in my house right now, so what's really going on? You got to talk to me at the very you gonna have to talk to me about what is going on. You might be allowed to stay with a deadline, but at the very least you can't just be hanging around without a word said. No, you gotta go. Gotta go.
Got to go.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, so this one is a little different.
Okay.
And I mean, I don't know if that's what we want for us to answer, but
Oh.
we could still. So it's from Reggie in Tucson.
Reggie! Okay.
Yeah, so he's like, how much sex, male-to-male sex,
Okay.
actually happens at these highway rest stops?
Oh, Lord,
I know, he
Reggie.
says, I know, he says, now that the summer travel season is here, I always wonder how much really goes on at those rest stops that I drive by. I'm guessing he's a trucker, I don't know. He wants to hear from anyone who's had a hot experience as well at these rest stops. So,
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I have no experience, personal experience. I do remember when the family and I, we were driving up to San Francisco, and we did stop at a rest stop. Just to kind of relax because it was a long drive and go to the bathroom. And I do remember one guy checking me out, but I mean, of course I had no interest. It wasn't the time. I wouldn't have done it anyway, but it was so, you see these pornos where they have these fantasies of, these guys, you see this guy that you think is hot, and the next thing you're hooking up or whatever. So it was just very, very strange for me to see that. And it just wasn't on my mind at all. So I presume that there's probably a lot just because they're hidden and they're not super crowded.
Well, I don't have any personal truck stop experience as a participant. I have done some observation of those subcultures as part of my doctoral work. And I would say to our writer that it's really an ebb and flow. There are times where it's jumping. It tends to be a very specialized audience and community. It's not just everyone. It's because the whole rest stop thing, takes a certain amount of moxie to put yourself in that situation because,
or desperation.
Well, not necessarily desperation. I mean, you have truck drivers that are out there, and you have guys that love a truck driver.
Well, in my mind, this is just, I could be totally wrong, but in my mind, I have a feeling that some of these are, I mean, again, could be some of these, some married guys that, yeah, you know, are kind of, so it, when I say desperation, that's what I have in mind. It's that people that, you know, they're married to a woman, mm-hmm, but they want, you know, trying to get some dick. Because yeah, at least here it could be anonymous. You know, there's no phone numbers. There's no trace of it, I guess, or whatever. Well, and so that, in my mind, that's why, when I say desperate, that's what I was kind of thinking about.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's an entire sexual community. It tends to be more transient than you would get in your public park or even in your typical sex club or bathhouse, because you have, unlike in those other spaces, you kind of have your core of regulars that are typically there. If you go, you start to see some of the same faces, because I know when we were doing observational work, we knew people. It's just, and it's, we had nicknames for some of them because we didn't, you know, we didn't,
oh my
interview,
goodness,
yeah, we didn't interview all of them, but we had nicknames for people. And it was just, I mean, at one point, there were one or two people walk up to me like, "Hey, is so and so here?"
Oh my
and
god!
I'd be like, "Why are you asking me?" They're like, "Cause we know you know."
Yes, you're the you became the cruise director at that moment.
Yeah, I'm Telephone Tammy, so I know everybody. And so
you were the cruise director for the truck stop hookups.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, well, actually, this particular thing, I was referencing a bathhouse, but yeah, the,
well, yeah, whatever.
Truck stop is interesting because it is like, it's part like park cruising, because you have a lot of those things with wooded areas behind them, or just natural spaces behind them, and then you also have like the bathroom itself. So it's kind of like a cross between tricking in the park and also cruising a tea room, like back in the old days where you had all these very distinct roles in a bathroom with public anonymous sex. You had a lookout, you had, you know, if you ever want to know about that stuff in detail, the author was Laud Humphreys, and it's, yeah, Humphreys was the last name, Laud Humphreys, and it was called...
How do you spell the first name?
L-A-U-D.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the book was called Tea Room Trade. So like a Russian tea room okay, trade. And I believe that's the name of the book. It's been a long time since I've read it. But a really interesting study, because he was one of the grandfathers, so to speak, of participant observer research. And it's a model that I rather enjoy, because you do get to, you get a better understanding of what's going on. So going back to the whole main point, with a truck stop, you do have this network of truckers, and they will communicate with one another in coded language over their communication devices. And
well,
yeah. Yeah, and they'll tell you who's there, you know, whether if the police are at the station at that particular place or not, they communicate that stuff to one another. And they might say, oh yeah, there's a hot number in the jeans, blah, 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 you know, the jean shorts. There's a whole language. And I have to think that even though it's been about 19, 20 years since I've actually been out doing that work, I'm sure they're still communicating in different ways. And you have this whole other cadre of guys that just love truckers, or they love the trucker fantasy. They try to climb into the back of the cab and you know, get some. And it's interesting. It's because really... aside from the fact that they're having this sex either in their truck or in a bathroom, they're just regular guys. The only thing that makes them quote unquote deviant or unusual is that they're not trying to pull some random piece of ass out of a club or a bar. this is their club or bar because they're on the clock. They don't have time to try to find a place to park an 18-wheeler in a city and go to
Yeah,
somebody's
exactly.
club.
Yeah.
And hell, if they want to, they're driving sometimes all night. They can't drink. So they just want to get their fuck in and get back on the road.
Exactly.
There are plenty of guys and women out there that are more than willing to fuck a trucker on a heartbeat and send them on their way.
Yeah.
And I've talked to some of the fans too. They're hilarious, by the way.
I do want to bring up, I mean, to me, the police thing, I mean, yeah, you do have to worry because you do not want to get caught. I mean, you would probably have to register as a sex offender. So,
Nowadays, yeah.
I mean, it might sound hot to do it. I personally, if I was single, I don't think I could do it because I think it's not something I could do. I'm sure, just based on what you said, there's tons of stuff happening, truck stops and parks,
Yeah,
whatever.
it's very
But
risky.
you do have to worry about the police. And is it really worth it to have to register as a sex offender for that? I mean, just for,
No,
it's
no.
not.
And the thing is about public sex, I mean, for some people it is the pièce de résistance. It's the ultimate. It's because it has that element of risk in there. You also have just all these things that you could project onto this truck driver. And so it is like a total mind fuck for a lot of people. It's just like uniform fetish play. You have people that want nothing to do with the cops, but they will put on a police uniform and go to someone's bar in a hot second. It's the same type of thing because now you have this guy wearing this drag, so to speak, because it's not really his. He's not a cop, but he can give you all kind of cop fantasy, and
Yeah.
that's—I don't know if I answered our writer's question.
I think we answered it best we could.
Basically, yes, there is plenty of sex going on. Sometimes it is dead; it is—it's—it's—it's not popping. Other times, it is popping. It depends on the location. You have truckers coming through all the time, and so. Yeah, there's plenty if you want to go. Just be
If you want to
careful.
go, do
Yeah,
that.
just be sensible about it. Understand that you are engaging in a risky behavior. Because you're out having sex outdoors with all the nervousness and all that goes with that, you may not be as diligent with the placing on of a condom as you would normally be in your
Yeah, if that's
bedroom.
even an option,
If it's yeah, if it's even yeah, I mean that and
it's
that's
even available.
yeah, I mean it's amazing how many people will bend over for someone they do not know
They don't even
anything
know.
about. And I'm just like, wow. And I've actually talked to some of those guys like, dude, you were just up against a tree and there were three guys running a train on you. Do you know any of that? Like, how did you organize that? Like, and he's like,
He did that just
no, he
spontaneous
didn't.
and
Yeah, I mean, he basically went around to, and found three truckers and said, meet me at such and such in 15 minutes. And they did, and he was there. And I said, wow. I was like, are you? And I mean, we're talking about late 90s here, mid 90s, late 90s.
Yeah, so
This was a different time. I was like, how are you just up? I said, so what is your mentality around contracting STIs and STDs? And with him, he saw it as an inevitability. So he said, I might as well have fun while I'm out here.
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
he really just kind of said, I don't see myself remaining negative. It's just too hard. It's too exhausting. Well, that had to be a show topic too, by the way. It's,
oh, yeah, that's true.
yeah, I think it's on a list already. Yeah, he just really saw it as, I'm going to serial convert at some point anyway, so I might as well do it on my terms. And I said, well, okay. And it would have been really very savior complex of me to say, well, you could just maybe change your mind about it and be more discriminating, but that wasn't how he was wired. Because I asked him the question, my job was merely to listen to his answer, if he felt the need to give me one, which he did, fortunately. But I was sitting there, my mouth hanging open. I said, well, damn.
okay.
I'm very mindful of trying to stay negative, and you're just like, oh, well, eventually I'm gonna be positive, so I might as well do it on my terms. Damn. I know they're out there, but to meet someone, and he didn't look like there was nothing extraordinarily unusual about him. He was just a regular guy. There was no like, oh, he's walking around with assless chaps on, or he's walking around naked, in a tank top and a jock strap. No, he's a regular guy out there having fun, and he just said, I enjoy sex and I'd rather enjoy it the way it was intended and not have all these restrictions and constraints. I said, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
But we got off topic a little bit. Sorry.
No, I think it's still the same thing.
It's like, it's what I do. I think does that close us out? I
I
believe it
think so.
does. Yeah, we should probably wrap it up.
Yeah.
So if you happen to have a question that you'd like to ask, feel free to email us at sexualhealingpod@gmail.com,
Yes.
or you can drop us a post on our Facebook page, Sexual Healing Podcast, from top to bottom. And we also invite you to subscribe to us on iTunes. When you search, definitely search for Sexual Healing Podcast. We should come up. It's been real weird with search lately.
But we are
We're on there. Even when it says we're not, we're there.
on there.
and we're also on SoundCloud. And hopefully, by the time this recording comes out, we'll be on Google Play as well.
Yes.
We are pending and pending review. So hopefully, we'll get that email soon.
Find us at Healing Pod on Twitter. I think you mentioned Instagram.
Yeah, actually, it's Pod Sexual on
Oh.
Twitter.
Odd Sexual on Twitter.
Yes. Still don't know how that happened.
Yes. Well, we try to be Healing Pod, but I guess.
Yeah, I put it in, but it changed it, so.
Yeah, you mentioned the Facebook. And
Yes. We're on Instagram. We do things for the gram. Not a lot, but
yes,
we do things for the
Sexual
gram.
Healing Pod on Instagram. So,
Yes.
and then our email address, that's for our email address, sexualhealingpod@gmail. That's for the Ask Your Barista and Have a Brother Out question. So
Yes.
you can send both of them there. Any question you got, send them there.
Yeah, we take them on, and
Yeah.
sometimes if we're not able to answer it on the show, we may be able to respond on our platform. We'll have to look and see. I'm not promising that's going to happen because that's some work, but Dr. Pookie's a little busy. So we'll have to see. But yeah, so send those questions in. All righty.
I think we're done.
Yeah, and also, be sure to subscribe, and we appreciate you sharing us with a friend, and also a 4 or 5 star review on iTunes would be wonderful if that is what you're inspired to do. So yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Till next time.
All right, till next time, we appreciate you guys hanging out with us, and hopefully you found something to get you thinking and moving toward prosperity on it. All righty, so
All
until next
right.
time,
Yep.
take care. Bye bye.